Okay, so everybody, so we're going to start by chanting Jai Radha Madhava, and we're going to let you see my deities as we chant. We're on a multi-camera setup now. I'm just gradually adding to my setup here so we can actually have more visual effects. All right, instead of just seeing my face, you can see other things that are actually much more attractive. So let's chant Jai Radha Madhava. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari, Gopi Jana Ballabha Giri Bada Dhauti, Giri Bada Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana, Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana, Yamunatira Manachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Hari, Gopi Jana Balaba Kiri Vardhadi, Gopi Jana Malaba Kiri Vardhadi, Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana, Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana, Yamunatira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari, Jaya Radha Radha Madhava Kunjabihari, Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Bhakti, Gopi Jana Malaba Giri Bhakti, Yashodanandana Vrajajana Ranjana, Rajajana Ranjana, Yamunatira Vanachari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari, Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari, Jayam Vishnupad Paramahansa Paramahansa, also Tetta Shimad. His Divine Grace Abhaya Chalanad Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anandakoti Vaishnav Vrindi Ki Jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Kaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopikopatan Nath Shyam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Ki Jai Mathuram Ki Jai Jagannatha Swami Ki Jai Yamunamaya Ki Jai Srimati Tulasi Devi Ki Jai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Gaur. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay. Gotta perfect this thing. It's a little. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini. Namaste, Saraswati Devi, Gauravani Pacharani, Nirvasesha Shunyavadi, Paschacha Jay Shatarani. So This one's blurry. Om Gana Timiranda Shah Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmiritam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Hold on a second. All this technology here. So we offer our respectful obeisances under the lotus feet of our spiritual master, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, who so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Anyway, technology problem. Oh, just trying to do something interesting. And technology always gets you. Wait a second. Just wait one second. We can get this technology working. This is not the fault of the internet. It's actually something else. All right. Let's go back. We used to have darshan of deities. Okay. All right. So much for the technology. All right. So reading from the Nectar of Devotion. We're reading from Ways of Meeting Krishna. Actually, we did that already. Paternal Devotion we're going to do it today. So tomorrow, of course, and I'm going to announce this at the end of tonight's session. Tomorrow we're going to be talking about His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada because it's Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day or commemoration of Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day tomorrow. That's going to be at the same time. We're going to start with different devotees making offerings, and that's going to go for about 1 hour and 50 minutes. And after that, we'll have a Pushpanjali for His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. And after that, we'll have an arti, simultaneous arti, for Srila Prabhupada and for the deities. It's going to be the same time tomorrow. Someone sent me a message. A chat message. Okay. So, it's going to be exactly the same time tomorrow. Remember that. Offerings, and some of you online will get a chance to do your offerings, but here in the United States and North Carolina, practically our whole program is online because the COVID virus is very bad. And tomorrow also, I just want to mention that I'm going to a funeral for one of my dear god sisters, Krishna Nandini, who passed away a few days ago, and that's at around the middle of the day. Of course, that will not be online. So she's a great devotee who dedicated her life to empathy and caring for other devotees, counseling other devotees, a very, very great disciple of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and she is with Krishna right now. I had visited her in her home. She was living close to the temple here in North Carolina with her family, and we are going to be at the funeral tomorrow, which is going to be very limited because there's limits of 10 people or less here in North Carolina in one particular location. So we will be careful. All right, let's continue with Nectar of Devotion. And first we're going to chant the prayers of the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, at least one particular prayer, written by Srinivasacharya. Nana Shastra Vichara Naika Nipano Sadharma Samstapako Lokanam Hitakarano Tribhuvane Manyo Chananya Karo Radha Krishna Padara Vinda Bhajana Nandena Matali Ko Vande Rupa Sanatano Raghu Yago Jiva Gopalaka. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatt Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they are honored all over the three worlds, and they are worth taking shelter of because they are absorbed in the mood of the gopis and engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Okay, let's continue with our study of the nectar of devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Okay, nectar of devotion. Okay, here we go. Actually, I set it up properly. Give me a second. I got to set it just to the text and then make it larger for all of you to see. Called fraternal devotion. That means friendship. When a devotee, let me clear the screen a little bit. When a devotee is permanently situated in devotional service by different symptoms of ecstasy, he has developed and matured a fraternal mellow or flavor in relationship with the personality of Godhead. His feeling is called fraternal love of Godhead. For such fraternal love of God is God himself. That's the stimulus, impetus. When one is liberated and discovers his eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord, the Lord himself becomes the impetus for increasing fraternal love. The eternal associates of the Lord in Vrindavan have described this as follows. The Lord Hari, whose bodily hue is like the Indranila jewel, whose smiling is as yellow as a golden autumn foliage. Garlands of flowers, and is always playing upon his flute. And there's the internet connection, unstable again. Ooh, it'll become stable. This enemy of the Agha demon is always attracting our hearts by wandering around Vrindavan. There are similar statements of fraternal love expressed outside the jurisdiction of Vrindavan. When the sons of Pandu, headed by Maharaja Yudhisthira, saw Krishna in his four-handed form on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, holding his conch shell, disc, club, and lotus flower, they completely forgot themselves and became merged in the ocean of nectarian happiness. This shows how the sons of Pandu, King Yudhisthira, Bhima, Arjuna, Nakula, and Sahadeva, were all caught up in fraternal love for Krishna and friendship. Sometimes, the different names, forms, paraphernalia, and transcendental qualities provoke fraternal love. For instance, Krishna's nice dress, his strongly built body, the all auspicious symptoms on his body, his knowledge of different languages, his learned teachings in Bhagavad Gita, his uncommon genius in all fields of endeavor, his exhibition of expert knowledge, his mercy, his chivalry, his behavior as a conjugal lover, his intelligence, his forgiveness, his attraction for all kinds of men, his opulence and his happiness all provoke fraternal love. Here we're just talking about vibhavas, different types of vibhavas, things that's the attraction and the ecstasies, in this case, for fraternal love or friendship. The impetus to fraternal love upon seeing the associates of Krishna in Vrindavan is also very natural, for their bodily features, their qualities, and their dress are all equal to Krishna's. These associates are always happy in their service to Krishna, and they are generally known as Vayasyas, or friends of the same age. The Vayasyas are fully competent of protection by Krishna. Devotees sometimes pray, let us offer our respectful obeisances unto the Vayasyas of Krishna, who are firmly convinced. Oops, someone sent me the chat. Is correcting. Let's wait. I'll answer that question after we're finished. Well, firmly convinced of Krishna's friendship and protection, and whose devotion to Krishna is ever fixed. They are fearless and on a level equal with Krishna. And on a level equal with Krishna, they discharge their transcendental loving devotional service. Such eternal vayasyas are also found beyond the jurisdiction of Vrindavan in places such as Dwaraka and Hastinapura. Except for Vrindavan, all the places of Krishna's pastimes are called puras, towns. Mathura and Hastinapura, the capital of the Kurus, are both puras. Personalities like Arjuna, Bhima, Draupadi, Sridham, Brahmana are counted among Krishna's fraternal devotees in the puras. It means towns. Vrindavan is called Vrindavan Dham. So how the sons of Pandu, the Pandavas, enjoy Krishna's association is described as follows. When Sri Krishna arrived in Hastinapura, in Indraprastha, let me take this out of the way, there's something blocking my vision, the capital of the Kurus, Maharaj Yudhisthira immediately came out to smell the flavor of Krishna's head. It is the Vedic custom the superior smells the heads of his subordinates when the subordinates offer respect to the superior by touching his feet. Similarly, Arjuna and Bhima embrace Krishna with great jubilation, and the two younger brothers, namely Nakula and Sahadeva, touch the lotus feet of Krishna with tears in their eyes and offer their respects. In this way, all the five Pandava brothers enjoy the fraternal friendship of Krishna in transcendental mellow. Of course, this is an item of etiquette. If someone's older than you respect them in that way, and at least at that particular time, by touching their feet and bowing down before them as someone who's equal, you just give them a little hug. Of course, hopefully it's in the coronavirus time. And if someone is superior, and if someone is inferior to you, they touch your feet and you give them blessings. Of the five Pandavas, Arjuna is the most intimately connected with Krishna. He's the same age as Krishna. He has a nice bow called Gandiva in his hand. His thighs are compared to the trunks of elephants, and his eyes are always reddish. Arjuna, not Krishna. When Krishna and Arjuna are together on a chariot, they become celestial beauties pleasing to the eyes of everyone. It is said that once Arjuna was lying on his bed with his head upon Krishna's lap and was talking and joking with Krishna in great relaxation, enjoying Krishna's company with smiling and great satisfaction. As far as the Vyasa friends in Vrindavan are concerned, they become greatly distressed when they cannot see Krishna even for a moment. There's the following prayer in Vrindavan. All glories to Krishna's Vyasa. Connection again, unstable, let it go away. Who are just like Krishna in their age, qualities, past dress, and beauty. They're accustomed to playing on their flutes made of palm leaves, and they all have buffalo horn bugles ornamented like Krishna's with jewels such as Indranila and with gold and coral. They're always jubilant like Krishna. May these glorious companions of Krishna always protect us. The Vaishyas in Vrindavan are in such intimate friendship with Krishna that sometimes they think themselves as good as Krishna. Phew, here's an instance of such friendly feelings. When Krishna was holding up Govardhan Hill with his left hand, the Vaishyas said, "Dear friend, you've been standing for the last 7 days and nights without any rest. This is very troublesome for us because we see that you have undertaken a severely laborious task. We think, therefore, that you need not continue to stand in that way holding the hill. You can just transfer it onto Sudama's hand. We are very much aggrieved to see you in this. If you think that Sudama is not able to support Govardhan Hill, then at least you should change hands. Instead of supporting it with your left hand, please transfer it to your right hand so that we can give your left hand a massage." This is an instance of intimacy showing how much the Vaishyas consider themselves to be equal to Krishna. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 12th chapter, verse 11, Shukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, "My dear king, Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead to the learned transcendentalist. He is the supreme happiness for the impersonalist. He is the supreme worshipable deity for the devotee. and he is just like an ordinary boy to one who is under the spell of Maya. And just imagine these coward boys, the Supreme Person, as though they were on an equal level. By this, anyone can understand that these boys must have accumulated heaps of the results of pious activities to enable them to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in such intimate friendship. There's a description of Krishna's feeling for his Vaishnavas in Vrindavan. He once said to Balaram, "My dear brother, when my companions were being devoured by the agasura, hot tears poured down from my eyes, and as they were washing my cheeks, my dear elder brother, for at least one moment, I completely lost myself." So this is a description of the agasura demon. And the agasura demon was a giant snake. The mouth and the top of the head could reach basically to the clouds. He was so big. So what happened is that he opened his mouth wide, imitating a cave. And the coward boys, having full trust, faith in Krishna, marched into his mouth, even though from that cave mouth there was emanating a fishy smell from the intestines of that demon. They were sure that Krishna was going to protect them. So they entered into the mouth, and Krishna, being under the influence of Ogamaya potency, which actually allows his potency to cause him to forget that he's God and to forget that he is all-powerful, Krishna started to lament, and he got bewildered. This is part of his enjoyment. Later on, he remembered, very quickly he remembered who he was, and he entered into the mouth of the Agasura demon and choked him to death and then revived the coward boys. So, Krishna here is revealing his mind to his brother. Within Gokul, Krishna's Vyasas are generally divided into four groups. One, well-wishers. Two, friends. Three, confidential friends. And four, intimate friends. Krishna's well-wisher friends are a bit older than Krishna, and they have some parental affection for him. Because of their being older than Krishna, they always try to protect him from any harm. As such, they sometimes bear weapons that they can chastise any mischievous person who want to do harm to Krishna. Counted among this well-wishing friends are Subhadra. And as we mentioned in the last chapter, Subhadra is also named Krishna's sister. Mandali Vadra, Bhadra Vardhana, but these are men. Gobata, Subhadra, actually it's pronounced Subhadra, but it's a lady. Gobata, Yaksha, Indravata, Vadranga, Virabhadra. Mahaguna, Vijaya, and Balabhadra. They're older than Krishna and always thinking of his welfare. One of the elderly friends said, "My dear Mandali Bhadra, why are you wielding a shiny sword as though you were running toward Arishtasura to kill him? My dear Baladev, why are you unnecessarily bearing that heavy plow? My dear Vijaya, don't be un..." There is no need to make these threatening. You will see that it is only a thunder cloud. There's the internet connection, unstable again. It is not the Arishtasura in the shape of a bull, as you have imagined. These older, well-wishing friends of Krishna had imagined the large cloud to be the Arishtasura appearing in the shape of a huge bull. In the midst of their excitement, one of them ascertained it was actually only a cloud on Govardhan Hill. He therefore informed the others not to take the trouble of worrying about Krishna because there was no present danger from Arishtasura. Of course, the Arishtasura was a bull demon that ultimately Krishna killed. And when Krishna killed him, Krishna got chastised by the gopis because you've killed a bull, they said. And a bull is, for lack of better words, a male cow. That's interesting. A cow means a female member of the bovine family. Some male bull would be more precise. And then Krishna was forced to make a kund where all the holy waters resided so he could bathe in the kund to become purified enough to associate with the gopis again. Of course, that was the pastime. And then the gopis made their kund after that, and that was Radha Kund. among and the water from Krishna's kund, which was Shama kund, went and filled Radha kund, because it was the water from all the holy places. Among the well-wisher friends, Mandali Bhadra and Balabhadra are the chiefs. Mandali Bhadra is described as follows. His complexion is yellowish, and his dress is very attractive. He always carries a stick of various colors. He wears a peacock feather on his head, and it always looks very beautiful. So not only Krishna wears a peacock feather on his head. Mandali Bhadra's attitude is revealed in this statement. My dear friends, our beloved are getting tired from working with the cows in the pasturing grounds and from traveling all over the forest. I can see that he is very fatigued. Let me massage his head silently while he is taking rest in his house. And you, Subal, you just massage his thighs. One devotee described the personal beauty of Baladeva as follows. Let me take shelter at the lotus feet of Balaram, whose beauty is enhanced by the earrings touching his cheeks. His face is decorated with tilak made from kasturi musk, and his broad chest is decorated with a garland of gunja, small, actually it says small conch shells, but actually small little berries, like really hard berries, white and red berries. And Krishna generally wears a gunja mala. So the translation is not exactly precise. His complexion is as white as an autumn cloud. He wears garments of blue color. And actually that imprecise translation or imprecise writing here actually was done by a person who transcribed Prabhupada's dictation. And his voice is very grave. His arms are very long, touching his thighs, and he has shown his great strength by killing the Pralamba demon. Let me take shelter of this chivalrous Balaram. Pralamba demon? He took the form of a coward boy. And he was carrying Balaram away. First, he looked like a coward boy, carrying Balaram on his shoulders, but then he manifested his actual form as a demon, and Balaram said, my, how this carrier's changed, and Balaram just gave him a whack, and the guy died. Baladeva's affection for Krishna is illustrated in this statement to Subal. My dear friend, please inform Krishna not to go to Kaliya's lake today. Today is his birthday, and so I wish to go along with Mother Yashoda to bathe him. Tell him he should not leave the house today. This shows how Balaram, Krishna's elder brother, took care of Krishna with parental love within the scope of eternal affection. In other words, Balaram's relationship with Krishna, even though he is Krishna, which is quite amazing, because there's no difference between Balaram and Krishna or any of the expansions. There's only one God. And we've mentioned this many times before. Advaita Chuta Nadiam Anantarupa Majim Purana Purusham Navi Yoganam Cha. There's one God. He has a variety of manifestations, and it's all the same person. Simultaneously, that means, for those of you who don't know what simultaneously means, that means at the same time. Hold on a second, I'm suggesting this. That's what simultaneously means. At the same time doing things, and sometimes Krishna doing things, at different situations, simultaneously, is not aware of what he's doing in different situations simultaneously. And the reason he's not aware is he chooses not to be aware. Not that he has some deficiency. Like if I'm not aware of something, you know, sometimes I'm not aware of things, but I'm not God. I don't know what's happening on the opposite side of this wall here. I don't basically know what's happening inside my computer. I don't even know what's happening inside my body. Krishna is aware of everything. Not a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. However, Krishna decides, he is so powerful that he can decide. Right, because if you're thinking about all that, how could like if you're interacting with someone and you know exactly what they are thinking, what they're going to do. There's the internet connection again, unstable. And the reason I'm mentioning the internet connection being unstable is because the devotee takes care of the internet here. I'm just giving him a hint when it becomes unstable so he can see what's happening. So Krishna can enjoy. That's why he chooses. He's all powerful that he can choose to forget. He could choose to remember what all the various incarnations, avatars, expansions of his are doing. So Balaram and Krishna are the same person. And Krishna's so powerful, he could be doing two different things, be his own brother, his own best friend, and not even be aware of it. He chooses not to be aware of it. And sometimes he may choose to be aware of it. That's his independence. Nobody can tell him what to do, what not to be aware of, what to be aware of. That's not our business. And even if you tell him, why should he listen to you? He's Swarat, he's independent. So friends who are younger than Krishna, who are always attached to him and who give him all sorts of kinds of service are called ordinary friends or simply friends. Such ordinary friends are called sakhas. And the names of such sakhas are Vishala, Vishava, Ojasvi, Adivaprastha, Varutapa, Maranda, Kusuma, Pita, Manibanda, and Karandama. All these sakha friends of Krishna seek only to serve him. Sometimes some of them would rise early in the morning and immediately go to Krishna's place and wait at the door to see Krishna and accompany him to the pasturing grounds. In the meantime, Krishna would be dressed by Mother Yashoda, and when she would see a boy standing at the door, she would call him, "Well, Vishal, why are you standing there? Come here." So with the permission of Mother Yashoda, he would immediately enter the house, and while Mother Yashoda was dressing Krishna, he would try to help put on Krishna's ankle bells, and Krishna would jokingly strike him with his flute. Then Mother Yashoda would call, "Krishna, what is this? Why are you teasing your friend?" And Krishna would laugh, and the friend would also laugh. These are some of the activities of Krishna's sakhas. Sometimes the sakhas would take care of the cows who were going hither and thither. They would tell Krishna, "Your cows are going off here and there," and Krishna would thank them. Sometimes when Krishna and the sakhas went to the pasture, Kamsa would send a demon to kill Krishna. Therefore, almost every day there was a fight with some different kind of demon. After fighting with the demon, Krishna would feel fatigued, the hairs on his head would be scattered, and the sakhas would immediately come and try to relieve him in different ways. Some friends would say, "My dear Vishala, please take this fan of lotus leaves and fan Krishna so that he may feel some comfort. Varutapa, you just brush the scattered hairs on Krishna's head, which have fallen upon his face. Talk unnecessarily. Immediately massage Krishna's body. His arms have become tired from fighting and wrestling with that demon. Oh, just see how our friend Krishna has become tired." These are some examples of the treatment given to Krishna by the sakhas. One of the sakhas, known as Devaprastha, is described as follows. He is very strong, a ready scholar, and is very expert in playing ball. He wears a white dress and he ties his hair into a bunch with a rope. Whenever there is a fight between Krishna and the demons, Devaprastha is the first to help, and he fights just like an elephant. One of the gopis once said to her friend, "My dear, beautiful friend, when Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, was taking rest within the cave of the hill, he was keeping his head in the arms of Sri Ram, and he was putting his left hand on Dama's chest. Taking this opportunity, Devaprastha, out of his strong, immediately began to massage his legs. Such are the activities of Krishna's friends out on the pasturing grounds. The more confidential friends are called Priyasakas and are almost Krishna's age. Because of their very confidential friendship, their behavior is only on the basis of pure friendship. The behavior of other friends is on the grounds of paternal love or servitude. But the basic principle of the confidential friends is simply friendship on an equal level. Some confidential friends are as follows. Shridam, Sudam, Dama, Vasudama, Kinkini, Stoka Krishna, Angshu, Bhadrasena, Vilasi, Pudarika, Itanka, Kalavinka. By their various activities and different pastimes, all of these friends used to give transcendental pleasure to Krishna. The behavior of these confidential friends is described by a friend of Radharani who told Radharani, "My dear, graceful Radharani, your intimate friend, some of them cut jokes with him in mild voices and please him very much by this. For example, Krishna had one Brahmin friend whose name was, famous guy, Madhu Mango. This boy would joke by playing the part of a greedy Brahmin. Whenever the friends ate, he would eat more than all others, especially laddus, of which he was very fond. Then after eating more laddus than anyone else, Madhu Mango would still not be satisfied, and he would please to give you my blessings so that you. The Brahmanas are supposed to give blessings to the Vaishyas, farming and merchant caste. There's the internet connection again, unstable. We'll pause for a second. And Krishna presented himself as the son of Maharaj Nanda, of Vaisha. So the Brahmin boy was right in giving blessings to Krishna. Thus Krishna was very pleased by his friend's blessings, and he would supply him with more and more ladus. So there's an interesting story. It's told by the Acharyas that once upon a time, Krishna and the coward boys were stealing yogurt and butter. And they were doing this in a very secretive way, of course. When you're stealing, you have to be very secretive. And so they were inside a dark room, and Krishna was lighting up the dark room with his effulgence, and they were enjoying themselves, and all of a sudden the gopis come in, and they discover Krishna and his coward boys, and they all jump out the window to get away from the gopis. So what happens when they jump out of the window to get away from the gopis? Krishna's Mangala, who happened to be quite heavy because he liked to eat so much, especially the ladus. Ladus will put a lot of weight on you. Anything with sugar will put a lot of weight on you. Therefore, when you want to lose weight, don't take things with sugar, even if you like them. That's a secret that I follow. So anyway, so he couldn't fit out. And actually, part of his body fit out of the window. And the part, I guess you can understand which part, the rear end, which is the biggest part of his body, couldn't fit out the window. And so what the gopis did is they started to spank him. Ooh, lightly, I mean, not really abusively. Anyway, with little sticks, you know, little, I guess reeds or something like that. Choo, choo. Afterwards, Krishna explained to the gopis that you have committed a great offense against a brahmana because they follow the Vedic culture. I mean, the Vaishyas, those of the mercantile class and those who took care of the cows and agriculture, were supposed to worship the Brahmins, as were the Kshatriyas, the rulers, and the martial people, and then as what to speak of the Shudras. So they all had to respect the Brahmins. The Brahmins are the natural spiritual master of all the different classes. And the sannyasis are the natural spiritual masters of Brahmins. So sannyasis are natural spiritual masters of everyone. But anyway, Madhumangal was a Brahmin. So Krishna said to the gopis, you have committed this great offense against Madhumangal. The only thing you can do is to compensate somehow or other. Prayaschitta, which means atonement, ask him for forgiveness. And so they went to Madhumangal, and he said to them, when they had begged for forgiveness, he said, you should feed me ladus if you want me to forgive you. So they kept feeding him so many ladus, I should describe, because he had a spiritual body. He could eat hundreds or thousands of ladus. And he kept eating, and he was so pleased that not only did he forgive the gopis, but he blessed them to be married to Krishna. So, the way to a Brahmin's heart is through his stomach. So, sometimes a confidential friend would come before Krishna and embrace him with great affection and love. Another friend would then come up from the rear and cover Krishna's eyes with his hands. Krishna would always feel very happy by such dealings with his confidential friend. So, here's God interacting in an intimate way with his devotees. It's so sweet. You know, it's sweet that God is being served by his servants, but it's actually sweeter that God is interacting in a very intimate, loving, friendly, joking way with his friends. And it gets even sweeter acting in a very intimate way, of course, with his mother and father and those in the same mood as his mother and father. It gets even sweeter when Krishna is interacting in an intimate way with his girlfriends. That's why the highest ras is called Madhuri Ras, which means sweet ras. Madhuri Lila. I mean, the sweet activities, the sweet pastimes of the Lord. Out of these confidential friends, Sudama is considered to be the chief. Sridham used to put on a yellow-colored dress. He would carry a buffalo horn, and his turban was a reddish copper collar. His bodily complexion was blackish, and around his neck there was a nice garland. He would always challenge Krishna in a joking friendship. Let us pray to Sriram to bestow his mercy upon us. Sometimes Sriram used to address Krishna, "Oh, you are so cruel that you left us alone on the bank of the Yamuna and we are all mad from not seeing you there. Now it is our great fortune that we are able to see you here. If you want to pacify us, you must embrace each one of us with your arms. But believe me, my dear friend, a moment's absence from you creates everything becomes disarranged. There are other friends who are still more confidential. They are called..." Internet connection unstable again. That's not what they're called. I'm just waiting to become stable. They are called Priya Narma, or intimate friends. Counted among the Priya Narma friends are Subal, Arjuna, Gandhava, Gandharva, Vasanta, and Ujjwala. So this is a different Arjuna battle, Kurukshetra. There was talk among the friends of Radharani the gopis about these most intimate friends. One gopi addressed Radharani thus, "My dear Krishangi, delicate one, just see how Subal is whispering your message into Krishna's ear, how he is delivering the confidential letter of Shyamadasi silently into Krishna's hand, how he is delivering the betel nuts prepared by Palika into Krishna's mouth, and how he is decorating Krishna with a garland prepared by Karaka. Did you know, my dear friend, that all these most intimate friends of Krishna are always engaged in his service in this way? The intimate Priyanarmas, Subal and Ujjwala are considered to be the most prominent." So these Priyanarmas actually carry messages to the gopis or between Krishna and the gopis and prepare Krishna for his interactions with the gopis. Your most intimate friends, not just confidential, but most intimate friends. Okay. Subal's body is described as follows. His complexion is just like molten gold. He is very, very dear to Krishna. He always has a garland around his neck and he wears yellow clothing. His eyes are just like lotus flower petals and he is so intelligent that by his talking and his moral instructions, all the other friends take the highest pleasure. Let us all offer our respectful obeisances unto Krishna's friend Subal. The degree of intimacy shared by Krishna and Subal can be understood by the fact that the talks between them were so confidential that no one else could understand what they were saying. Wow. Ujjwala. So when a devotee, let me just backtrack a little bit. When a devotee rises above the platform of Vaidhi Bhakti, he's still doing sadhana or practice, and comes to the platform of Raghunuga, which occurs when one's basically on the Nishta platform. Nishta means 24/7 steady in devotional service. Not just steady in the morning when you're chanting, going to your Mangala routine, doing everything like that, but steady 24 hours a day. That's pretty tough. Then, when one is on that platform, one begins to realize who one is in the spiritual world. And you get a glimpse. And then you realize who you will follow in the spiritual world. And so you begin to serve a servant or serve a servant of a servant of a servant of a servant of the Lord. And in this way, you're actually pleasing Krishna. That's the point. It's not that you think, oh, I will directly serve Krishna. You serve a servant or a servant of a servant of a servant. And the interesting thing is, even before one comes to that platform, one can serve a great servant of Krishna. That's Srila Prabhupada. So you don't have to wait to become a servant of a great servant of Krishna. You can do it right now. The description of Ujjwala, another intimate friend, is given as follows. Ujjwala always wears some garment of orange color, and the movements of his eyes are always very restless. He likes to decorate himself with all kinds of flowers. His bodily hue is almost like Krishna's. And on his neck, there's always a necklace of pearls. He is always very dear to Krishna. Let us all worship Ujjala, the most intimate friend of Krishna. Remember that. Ujjala is the most intimate friend of Krishna. About the confidential service of Ujjala, this statement is to be found addressed, and also Subal. Sorry about that. Addressed by Radharani to one of her friends. My dear friend, it is impossible for me to keep my prestige. I wanted to avoid talking to Krishna anymore, but just see, there again is his friend Ujjala coming to me with his canvassing work. His entreaties are so powerful that it is very difficult for a gopi to resist her love for Krishna, even though she may be very bashful, devoted to her family duties, and most faithful to her husband. The following is a statement by Ujjala showing his jubilant nature. My dear Krishna, O killer of Agasura, you've extended your loving affairs so much that you can be compared to the great ocean, which is without limitations. At the same time, the young girls of the world who are all searching after the perfect lover have become just like rivers running into this ocean. Under the circumstances, all these rivers of young girls may try to divert their courses to some other place, but at the end, they must come unto you. And some are well known by popular tradition. And some are eternally in friendship with Krishna, some are elevated demigods, and some are perfected devotees. In all these groups, there are some who by nature are fixed in Krishna's service and are always engaged in giving counsel. Some of them are very fond of joking and naturally cause Krishna to smile by their words. Some of them are by nature very simple, and by their simplicity, they please Lord Krishna. Some of them create wonderful situations by their activities, apparently against Krishna. Some of them are very talkative, which is nice, always arguing with Krishna and creating a debating atmosphere. And some of them are very gentle and give pleasure to Krishna by their sweet words. All of these friends are very intimate and they show expertise in their different activities, their aim always being to please Krishna. Very beautiful chapter, the Nectar of Devotion. Very, very beautiful. So, we'll go on to fraternal loving affairs tomorrow. So let's take some questions. Actually, not tomorrow, sorry about that. Tomorrow is Prabhupada's disappearance celebration. So it'll be the day after. So we are going to take questions. One second. And there's one question on the chat window, which we'll take first. Here's the question. Hare Krishna Gurudev, is correcting or advising another devotee for proper service for the deities considered offensive if that particular devotee is taking it as an offense? Not necessarily offensive, no. It depends on what is our mood. Oh. So here's more of an explanation. Okay. I didn't see the whole question here. Yes. Prabhupada recommended keeping the hair covered in the kitchen. The devotees should keep their hair tied up, actually covered. Yeah, actually, this is a fact. We do that here. It's actually very important. When you cook for the deities, if you have hair, for me, it's not a problem. I don't have to wear a hairnet. But if you have hair, like most ladies have hair, sika, somebody is holding a sika there. If you have a sika, that's why you're usually supposed to tie the sika in a knot. And that actually keeps the sika from falling in, or pieces of the sika. But my sika is so small. Prabhupada also had a very, very tiny sika. It was just like three or four hairs coming out of the back of his head. So yes, the whole point, like Prabhupada considered it actually completely contaminating if there was a hair in the food. So there's one piece of hair in the food. And I've seen that happen, the hair in the food, it's just really bad. Actually, I'll tell you a funny story about, not about hair, but about contaminated food. When I used to live in Venezuela, many years ago, I was a president of Venezuela. We had a very nice temple. It was on a hill in a place called Los Chaguaramos. I don't have to translate that. And the houses, instead of having numbers on them, they had names. And the name of our house was Las Ranas. Las Ranas means the frogs, because there were a lot of frogs. And hopefully I don't give away the end of this joke. So what happened is that the feast cooking was actually done outside, because we had a lot of people coming for the Sunday feast. Sometimes we had hundreds of people coming for the Sunday feast. So they would cook outside on the stove. And unfortunately, when they were cooking outside on the stove, once it would jump into the pot. So we had a Sunday feast guest one time. He sat down to take his plate of prasadam. And he reached, after he took a bite and he reached into his mouth, he pulled out a frog. Anyway, I don't know if he ever came back to the temple. He was definitely a vegetarian. He broke the principles by eating prasadam that day. So anyway, so the point is, when one is cooking for Krishna, everything has to be very clean, especially hair. I mean, when I used to cook for Krishna, actually still do, I have my deities, I keep my hands like clean, like I'm a doctor going into surgery. Even if I touch my shirt or my dhoti or anything, not to speak of a face, anything that is like the knife or whatever else, again, we'll wait till it goes away. Okay. So anything that I would touch, I would just wash my hands. Everything would be revolutionary clean. So I'd make sure that, and nobody wouldn't let anybody look at the food before it was offered to Krishna. I was very, very strict. It was like hospital cleanliness. Like sometimes you see the doctors, they wash their hands and they hold their hands like that before they cut you open. So it was like that. I didn't cut anyone open, don't worry. So it was like that. I would just keep my hands perfectly clean without touching anything else. So that should be the standard. Another thing is, while one's in the kitchen cooking, if you touch your mobile phone, there's some tests that have shown that your mobile phone is dirtier than your toilet bowl as far as the number of bacteria on it. You may think it's very nice, but you've been touching your face, picking your nose, touching the mobile phone, keep it in your pocket. As far as the amount of bacteria, it's more... Anyway, there's been scientific studies about it. In general, your mobile phone is more dirty than the toilet bowl as far as bacteria is concerned. So it's a good idea to wash your mobile phone. Don't put it in the dishwasher. It's not a good idea. But you can wipe it off with some sort of antiseptic or antibacterial type of stuff. And especially if it's a waterproof phone, then you don't have to be so careful with it. But so I see people in the kitchen, you know, they're touching the mobile phone all the time, and that's very dirty. So Krishna's prasadam has to be, like Prabhupada said, cleanliness and punctuality are the first two principles, most important principles of deity worship. Without that, all your other rituals are actually useless. Whatever else you do is useless if you're not clean and punctual. When I first established the deities here in North Carolina, Radhika Lokananda, I would actually stand by the deity room with my watch and just time everything to make sure it was done to the second. And also, I was so strict. I mean, this is a funny story, not so funny story, that even if someone didn't have the right consciousness, I wouldn't let them do the RT. One time, I shouldn't tell this story, but I'm going to tell anyway. Always preface, shouldn't tell a story by telling the story anyway. It's actually an interesting story. So once upon a time, there was a lady who was supposed to do RT, and she was just like really in bad consciousness, super bad consciousness. So I told her, you're not going to do the RT. She says, "Ah, good Arti." It's like Surpanaka or something like that, doing an Arti for Radha and Krishna. So she comes up and opens the door to the deity room and goes, and I hate to say I did this, but anyway, she goes to do the Arti, and I grab her sari and pull her off the altar. I said, "You're not doing the Arti." Get with that consciousness. And then I did the Arti that day. That's the only time I ever did something like that. I didn't hurt the lady, but I just couldn't see her doing the Arti with that frame of consciousness on in her mind. So, you know, good consciousness. These are important prerequisites. Good consciousness, cleanliness, and punctuality when worshiping the deities. And so especially the kitchen is Radharani's. So one has to be very, very careful in Radharani's kitchen as to what they do. And actually, when I used to cook, I didn't like to talk to anyone except for, like Prabhupada was like that when he cooked for the deities. He never talked about anything, even Krishna's pastimes. He just talked about the preparation that he was doing. Another funny story, of course, this reflects on some devotees that some of you may know. When I used to cook the breakfast offering for the deities, one of the ladies would like be very hungry. It's not Radharani, I'm not talking about Radharani now. And she would go to the door of the kitchen, and she says, "Is it ready yet? Is the deity's plate? Is the deity's plate transferred?" And I would close the door and actually put a little, one of these little locks on the door, like a little hook and everything like that, so she couldn't come in and talk to me. Because, you know, when doing deity service, even transferring Krishna's plate, you know, it's a very serious thing. But you're cooking for the Supreme Personality of Godhead in Radharani's kitchen. So, you know, generally I was very quiet when I was cooking. Or I'd play some tape of Prabhupada or something like that. I'd never play a rock and roll kirtan. It'd always be like Prabhupada or some serious type of kirtan in class. Okay, time for another question. Devotees should instruct politely. The way you spelled course is very interesting here. If you look at his chat message here, course is spelled C-O-U-R-S-E, but you spelled it course, which actually goes, if someone is coarse, they definitely have anger problems. That's C-O-U-R-S-E. That's definitely a Freudian slip, as we would say. They need an anger management course. So anyway, if someone is, if someone is instructing anyone, either in the deity's facility or outside of the deity's facility, it should always be done politely. Not you, rascal. You demon, you know, like that. You know, everything should be not, one should not be coarse. One should be, you should take a course, but not be coarse. Okay, very good point. And that's really funny. Okay, yeah, sometimes people make these spelling mistakes. They actually are quite interesting. So who else has a question? You can ask your questions now. Yes, with respect and understanding moods. Yes, because we're all servants. That's why we call each other Prabhu or Pravi. That means I'm your servant, you're my master. That's really important. I'm your servant. Most people are serving voluntarily. I mean, hopefully you're not paying a salary to the people doing deity worship. You get $50 for each arti you do. How many artis you want to do? Well, this week I have to pay my car payments, so I'll do every RT this week. You know, get $50 an RT and $100 for the Sunday feast RT. Pretty good. So, anyway, so yes, it should all be done with devotion, respect, and thankfulness that we're being allowed to serve the deities. That's right. Prabhupada didn't want salaries given to the devotees. I mean, devotees' expenses can be made by the meant by the temple, but salaries are not. I mean, Prabhupada was completely against salaries for devotees. Everything should be voluntary. And expenses can be met, you know, normal expenses, medical expenses, whatever someone needs. That's okay. Okay. Any other question?
I have a question, Gurudev.
Yeah, oh, Ravisanya is the best singer in the world.
Please accept my humble obeisances.
Good to see you.
Nice to see you too. I quite often listen, but...
When are they going to let me back in New Zealand?
Yeah, we can't wait to see you. Miss you so much. So my question is, you know, children quite often, it seems like until they're quite old, they kind of have this mood that they're on the same level as Krishna, you know, like Krishna's my friend and I'm a cow boy. Well, that's what my kids are like. And I wonder how much to push for awe and reverence in little, how much to push for awe and reverence in little children, or if you just allow them to be spontaneous and completely natural with Krishna and then it will come in time.
Well, just do this with them. Whoops, I don't, let's see.
Sorry.
I was going to do a joke. Wait a second. Hold on a second. This is a joke. This is going to take a while. Let's see. Just do this with them.
What?
Can you see my picture?
Yeah.
Lock them up. No. It's just a joke. That's a joke. Well, I think let the children be. You know, whatever mood they have is just encourage that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I've always kind of done that. But I just started thinking with Narottam because he still thinks that he's a cowherd boy, and I'm like, okay, you're 4 and a half. Maybe it's time to push for a bit more awe and reverence.
wait until he's 18.
Okay.
Just let him be. You know, let him have fun in Krishna consciousness, and let him think he's a coward boy. What's good? He's not thinking he's a gopi. I mean, you should be thankful.
Last night he was talking in his sleep about some special underwater mantra. Yeah, Arjuna moved him to the other bed and he was saying, no, I want to do that mantra.
That's funny.
Anyway, he's a character.
That's funny. Tell him I miss him.
Yeah, I will. He misses you too.
Yeah. He's a lot of fun.
Sorry, Jesus got his grill. Okay, thank you, Gurudev.
All right, we'll see you soon. Pray to the virus deities.
We can't wait to see you, Gurudev. We miss you so much.
Yeah, I'm gonna take the vaccine as soon as it comes out. So.
Well, you know, only if you're confident to do it. Don't put yourself into danger just for our benefit. We're getting so much benefit just from you being on Zoom.
Baba.
I think it's more dangerous for me not to.
Baba.
Right, America.
It's dangerous for the devotee.
Okay, thank you so much. Good day.
All right. Who else has a question? Question,
Gurudev, I had a comment.
Yeah.
This is Krishna Priya. So I was just reflecting on her conversation when she was speaking with you, like about her son. And then one thing that came to me is like sometimes we don't know who these children are that you know, that these sometimes very elevated children, not saying a boy, are put into the protection of the parents. And then I was reflecting on, like, you know, what a sacred duty it is, you know, and that how special it is, and that, you know, the children themselves can help us to be Krishna conscious. And then one thing I was reflecting on, maybe you can speak on that, I think is a good balance, is like from what I've seen over the years, is that the, you know, the children particular relationship, like when they're home with their parents, yeah, or with their friends, or they're playing about Krishna, but at the same time that we teach the children at a young age, when you come in the temple and you see, yeah, the deities, that there's a certain, you know, external mood that we have with the deities of respect. So that way the children can still, they have their relationship with Krishna, and the temple, yeah, also shouldn't be so uptight, but they also learn, you know, coming in, offering obeisances, being respectful, you know, like that. So I think that's a balance.
Yeah, that's really important.
I just wanted to share that. But I mean, who are these wonderful children that have the opportunity to even think about Cowherd Boys, you know? That's so special.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, that's so special. I mean, I can't. My childhood, I didn't think I was a coward boy. I thought that I was, what was I thinking I was? Probably, I don't know.
Superhero.
I was thinking I was the president of the United States or something.
Superman.
Superman. Oh, that's right. My parents made me a cape, and I almost killed myself jumping off chairs all the time. So it's better people think that they're coward boys than Superman. All right, what other question? Who else has a question? No one else? That's Tulsi. You're a man on you.
Hmm?
Who else has a question? No?
I have a question, Gurudev.
Okay.
You sure. Know how you said, Hare Krishna, Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisance.
Get my blessings. So one question.
I just wanted to say something about covering of the hair.
Yeah.
You know, shouldn't it be a head pujari's duty to, you know, put a, you know, like a note on the wall, like saying that what the standards should be at the temple while we are cooking?
Yeah, that, like we did, we have that in North Carolina. All the standards for cooking are actually, at least the last time I went in the kitchen, all the standards for cooking are listed on the wall.
Yeah, because when I cook, I wear gloves.
Yeah, that's good. Of course, hopefully they're clean gloves.
Yeah, they are clean gloves, good. They're surgical gloves.
Oh, that's good. So they're like disposable gloves.
Yes.
All right. That's fine. Anyway, I don't want to get into the management there. And
no, I'm just saying, like, because it just came up, so I thought, like, you know, it should be management's duty to do that.
Yeah, everyone has to be informed, but I don't want to get into how they do.
Yeah. All right, Gurudev. Thank you.
It's definitely not my
problem. I know.
I've got enough problems managing myself without getting into local management. Okay.
Gurudev?
Yeah.
You know when you were reading about the gunja berries? And
yeah,
how they translate into conch shells. In Bengali, gunja berries are called conch. So,
probably was using Bengali translation.
Yeah, and they just thought it was conch shells.
But it's not conch shells. It's actually gunja mala.
Yeah.
It's not that gunja berries are conch, but gunja means conch in Bengali.
Yeah.
When you say gunja berries, you're actually obviously saying berries.
Yeah, the Gunja. Yeah.
Gunja. At least you're not having ganja berries. We don't want you to think of ganja berries there.
Well, the gunja berries is that they would grind them up and put the poison on arrows.
I am with the coward boy, see? I told you I was a coward boy. This is funny. Okay, so who else has a question? Because we got to end now. Actually, we have to end now. Tomorrow, remember, Prabhupada. We're going to have a Prabhupada program beginning at the same time we normally begin. The reason I'm not mentioning 5 because it's different everywhere in the world. 5 o'clock, offerings from the different devotees. I'll just do a 3-minute offering. I'm giving a class tomorrow morning here, which is probably too late for everybody else, everywhere else in the world, on Srila Prabhupada on his disappearance day. And tomorrow evening, offerings, and then eventually Pushpanjali and Arti for Prabhupada and Prabhupada's disappearance day. All right, so thank you very much. All glories to his grace. Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Hari Bol.